Let us continue from where we stopped. The author said this book is a summary inclusive of most of the obligatory knowledge which every accountable person is obligated to know. This comprises the obligatory knowledge pertaining to belief, issues from purification up to pilgrimage, and some rules of dealings according to the school of Imam al-Shafi'i. The explanation: this book contains most of the obligatory matters that every accountable person has to know. من العقيدة, among the matters of belief, والعبادات, acts of worship, واجبات القلب, the obligations of the heart, معاصي الجوارح, the sins committed by different organs, والتوبة, and the repentance, how to repent. This does not mean that every single case mentioned in the book is among the personal obligatory knowledge. For example, to know that Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام is the son of Abdullah, this is a personal obligatory, a personal obligation. To know that he was an Arab, this is a personal obligation. Now, to know the lineage up to Hashim, because the author mentioned the lineage up to Hashim, this is not a personal obligation, this is a communal obligation. So not every single matter mentioned in this book is among the personal obligation of the religion. One either acquires the personal obligatory knowledge of the religion before becoming pubescent or not. If one acquires the knowledge, this knowledge, before becoming pubescent, then that's it. He acquired it. Once he becomes pubescent, he knows it. He does not need to go and acquire it. Already he has it. If one does not acquire it before becoming pubescent, then once he becomes accountable, he or she needs to acquire what one needs to know immediately. One has to go and to acquire it now. For example, he needs to acquire enough knowledge to make proper tahara, proper purification, and to pray in time, properly. It is not permissible for one to delay acquiring that amount. On another hand, if he wants to make Hajj, but it's not the time of making Hajj yet, if he delays acquiring this knowledge pertaining to that in a way that he acquires it on time, so he wouldn't be involved in Al-Hajj without knowledge, then he is not sinful. So once he becomes pubescent, what he has to acquire immediately is what he needs immediately. This book contains more than that. Usually, the books of fiqh, most books of fiqh, are subdivided into four parts. The first quarter, which they call usually the quarter of ibadat, pertains to the matters of purification, prayer, zakah, fasting, and hajj, pilgrimage. So the matters, the cases pertaining to those five matters, to these five matters, are considered the quarter of ibadat. Usually, this is the first quarter of any book of fiqh. And usually, the second quarter pertains to dealings, buying, selling, etc. This book contains a summary of al-ibadat, a summary of the dealings and other matters. All those rules are according to the school of Imam al-Shafi'i. May Allah raise his rank. He is one of the four imams whom Ahlul Sunnah in the different parts of the earth follow their mazhabs. The earliest among them is Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, then Malik, and they lived at the same era. Then Al-Shafi'i, and he was at one stage the student of Al-Imam Malik. Then Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and for a period of time he was the student of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i. The name of Al-Shafi'i is Muhammad. His father's name was Idris. He was born at the year 150 after Al-Hijrah. He died at the year 204 after Al-Hijrah. He was called Al-Shafi'i because one of his ancestors is called Shafi'i. That's why he was called Al-Shafi'i, in reference to this great-grandfather. His school is called the school of Al-Shafi'i. The one who really knows the school of Al-Shafi'i and he follows it is called also Shafi'i. That is a follower of his madhab. If one asks, for example, what is the judgment, what are the integrals of wudu according to the Shafi'i school, he was told. What are the integrals of prayer? He was told that. What is the judgment of this and this according to the Shafi'i school? He was told that. Then he follows that. He followed that. This is not enough for that person to be called a Shafi'i. This is someone who is following a Shafi'i in those issues by knowing what was his ijtihad. The one who truly they consider him or her a Shafi'i, likewise a Hanafi, etc., is the one who knows the proofs on which a Shafi'i relied to say this and that and that. Likewise, the proofs on which Abu Hanifa relied to say this or that or that. Otherwise, the one who just knows that a Shafi'i said this about that, he said that about that case, is called in Arabic Ammi. I don't want to translate it as layman, no. But Ammi, I don't know how to translate it in English. They don't consider him enrolled in one school or the like. Like most of the people. Most of the people, they are like that. Including ourselves. I'm not excluding. So he's called Ammi in Arabic. He's not enrolled in one of the people of this school or that school. But he has enough. He has what he needs. If he acquires what he needs among the matters of the religion, then he's okay. He's okay. Moreover, Al-Shafi'i was among the clan of Al-Muttalib. Al-Muttalib, the head of this clan, he was the brother of Hashim, who was also the head of the clan from which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is. So Hashim and Al-Muttalib were brothers. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned a specific merit about this clan, Al-Muttalib. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam crossed his fingers and he said, he meant by that Hashim, Banu Hashim, the clan of Hashim. We and the clan of Al-Muttalib are like one thing. They did not leave us neither in Al-Jahiliyyah nor in Islam. Which means always the clan of Muttalib, they supported the clan of Hashim. Even after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam got the prophethood, they supported them. Even the blasphemers among them, they supported. Shafi'i had a very strong mind. A person once passed by a circle in which an old big sheikh was teaching the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, narrating the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He didn't see Al-Imam Ahmad in that circle. He passed by another circle for another old sheikh, famous one. He did not see him there. By a third one, he did not see him there. Then he saw him sitting in the circle of Al-Shafi'i. And Al-Shafi'i at that time was much younger than those other sheikhs. So he addressed Al-Imam Ahmad by saying, "You leave so and so, so and so, and so and so. and you sit in the circle of this young Muttalibi. Muttalibi means from the clan of Al-Muttalib. Al-Imam Ahmad answered, if you do not get a hadith through a short chain of narrators, you can get it through a longer chain of narrators. And that would not harm you. It doesn't harm you, neither in your religion nor in your mind. Doesn't affect your religion. It doesn't affect your mind. It doesn't affect your religious status. And it does not affect your mind. But if you lose the mind of this Muttalibi, then you might not find such mind until the Day of Judgment. It means the people who acquire the hadith of the Prophet like to acquire it through short chain of narrators, if it is a trustworthy one. He was telling him that. He told him, well, I have another thing. The mind of a Shafi'i, if I lose that, then from where do I get it? Now, if one of those old sheikh dies, I can get the hadith from his students. Yes, the chain becomes longer, but if the student is trustworthy, that doesn't harm me. But if I lose the mind of a Shafi'i, from where would I get a similar mind to learn from? This is what he meant. The author said, the sins of the heart and of other organs, such as the tongue, are also included. The explanation. Likewise, clarifying what are the sins of the seven organs are mentioned in this Mukhtasar. The sins committed by the different organs are mentioned in this summary, in this Mukhtasar. The author said, the original book was written by the Hadrami Faqih Abdullah ibn Hussein ibn Tahir. Many precious issues were added to the book. The explanation, a Hadrami scholar, Hadrami means from Hadramaut in Yemen. And this is a region that was full with scholars in the past. Up till nowadays, there are some knowledgeable people there. And they follow all of them, the Shafi'i school. So a sheikh from that region, Hadramaut, called Abdullah, son of Hussein, son of Tahir, from the lineage of Al-Imam Ali, who died the year 1272 after Al-Hijrah, he authored the book of Sulam al-Tawfiq that was summarized in this book of which we are explaining. The author, he added, he didn't just summarize without adding anything. He added good additions to the original text. This is how the old scholars used to summarize. It was not a condition for them that the one who summarized the book does not add anything. So he added and he omitted whatever he found, whenever he found that it is proper to do that. The author said, on the other hand, the section on Sufism was omitted. Some sentences were changed in such a way that the subject would not be changed. In a few cases, the author mentioned what some Shafi'i scholars, like Al-Bulqini, preponderated in an effort, gave more weight, preponderated, in an effort to clarify what was weak in the original book. The explanation, the matters pertaining to Sufism are left out in this summary. There are matters pertaining to Sufism that were not mentioned in this summary. Not the basis of Sufism. The basis of Sufism are mentioned. The base of Sufism is to have the correct belief and to follow the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is mentioned in this Mukhtasar. to follow the Prophet in the matters of purification, prayer, etc., leaving out the sins of the heart, doing the obligations of the heart, etc. All of this is mentioned in this Mukhtasar. But he meant issues that go beyond that. Those issues, the author did not mention them. Not because the correct Sufism, the true Sufism is something bad, no. But because the author wants to mention in his book only what pertains to the personal obligatory knowledge and not what goes beyond that. This is why the section on Sufism was omitted. Sometimes the author omits a rule which is weak in the original book, and instead he mentions the judgment which is strong. In many cases when he does that, or in some cases when he does that, he mentions who among the scholars gave this saying that the author is mentioning it more weight. Who among the scholars propendated it? He might mention Al-Bulqini, for example. He was called Al-Bulqini in reference to a town in Egypt called Bulqina. His name is Umar, the son of Rislan. During his time, he was called the scholar of the whole world. Some scholars called him like that, a scholar of the whole world. The author said, hence, one must pay true attention to this obligatory knowledge in order to have one's deeds accepted. The explanation, every one of us is ordered to do some matters and prohibited from doing other matters, ordered by Allah, that is. How would one know what are the matters that he or she is obligated to do, so one would do them? And what are the matters that one is prohibited from doing them? How would one know that except by learning? This is why one has to take care of learning this personal obligatory knowledge. Because the one who does not learn, even if he wants to make an act of obedience, if he does not learn how to do that, in many cases, what he does is to commit a sin. This is why one person among us Salaf said, the ignorant person wants many times to do good deeds, and what he does would be a bad thing. Because he is ignorant, he doesn't know how to do that. As for the one who acquires the knowledge mentioned in this book and he applies it with a good intention, then this person, his deeds would be accepted by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Up till here, does anyone have a question? Tafaddal. That's correct. When you are teaching someone who's new, who didn't learn before, you don't need to follow the same order mentioned in Al-Mukhtasar. Rather, you follow what he needs. Before you teach him, for example, about Az-Zakat and Al-Hajj, and he doesn't have money to pay Zakat now, and he doesn't want to go to Al-Hajj now, then go ahead and teach him about the sins of the different organs so he can protect himself from that before going back to Az-Zakat or Al-Hajj. Yes, of course. The scholars of the religion are of different levels. The top level is a mujtahid, someone who is entitled, who has enough knowledge, and has the tools to deduce the judgments immediately from Al-Quran and As-Sunnah. The second level, the following level, includes the scholars that have enough knowledge and tools to deduce judgments from the sayings of the imam of the school. like Ash-Shafi'i, Abu Hanifa, Ahmad or Malik. And they are not qualified to deduce the judgments from Al-Qur'an and the Sunnah. Those are called in Arabic Ashabul Wujuh or Mujtahid within the school. The third level are those scholars who are not qualified to deduce the judgments from Al-Kitab, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah. Rather, they are qualified to give more weight for one saying over another saying within the school. They are called the people of preponderation. The fourth level, which is the lowest level, are those who copy what other scholars said. They are not qualified to deduce judgments, nor from Al-Qur'an or As-Sunnah, nor from the sayings of the Imam, and they are not qualified to give more weight for one saying over another. They are qualified just to copy what other scholars said. So you have those four levels of scholars. The first level, Mujtahid al-Mutlaq, are those who are not called Muqallid. Also the second level in some issues. The third and the fourth level are all among Muqallidun, those who go by the sayings of other scholars. That's it. Now, lower than this fourth level come people like ourselves who acquire enough knowledge, alhamdulillah, and sometimes more than what's enough. And if the person works with that and applies it, then he would be among the successful people in the hereafter. Does anyone have a... Go on. The later scholars, they might call... Among the previous scholars, they wouldn't call faqih except al-mujtahid. That's all. They wouldn't call faqih. Most of the famous scholars that we know about, according to as-salaf, they would not call them faqih. Now, after, among the later scholars, originally, alim, faqih, and mujtahid, among as-salaf, only referred to a mujtahid. That's all. Let us continue then. This section, this pertains to the essentials of belief, the meaning of the testification of faith. It is obligatory upon all the accountable persons to embrace the religion of Islam, to remain steadfast to it, and to comply with what is obligatory upon them of its rules. This means that every accountable person must be Muslim, stay Muslim, and follow the rules of Islam. We all know that we don't say a Muslim has to embrace Islam. He is a Muslim. How is this translation put out there? It is obligatory upon all the accountable persons to embrace the religion of Islam, to remain steadfast to it, and to comply with what is obligatory upon them to, of its rules. Who answers? How's that? Come on, how's that? This is like when you say to someone, or to three people, I ask you to, for example, yani, because now we're in here, so let's take it this way, to wipe the floor, to remove the tables, and to clean the windows. You do not mean by that you are asking each one of them to do the three matters at the same time. If one of them cleans the window, the other removes the table, and the third one cleans the floor, then you would consider that they fulfilled what you are asking. So when the author said that it is obligatory upon all the accountable people to embrace al-Islam, that is, if they were not Muslims. To remain steadfast to it, that is, for those who are Muslims and to apply its rules, that is for those who are Muslims. It is obligatory upon all the accountable persons to embrace the religion of Islam, to remain steadfast to it, and to comply with what is obligatory upon them of its rules. This means that every accountable person must be Muslim, stay Muslim, and follow the rules of Islam. Explanation: the accountable person, religiously, the accountable person is the person who is sane, pubescent, and got the call of Islam, received the call of Islam. When we say to be pubescent, puberty means for a male to become pubescent. This means for one of two matters to occur with him: to emit al-mani or to become 15 lunar years year old. Any of those two matters that occurs first, by which this person becomes pubescent. For a female, it's one among three: the previous two, and on top of that, to menstruate. So any of those three, when it occurs, the female becomes pubescent by this. Sane means not to be insane, not to be crazy. To receive the call of Islam means for one to receive that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Just to hear that is enough for him to be considered that he received the call of Islam. If those three matters occur, take place, if one is pubescent, sane, and one received the call of Islam, then he is considered accountable. He is obligated to embrace Islam immediately if he is not Muslim. This occurs by uttering the testification of faith, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, those two testifications, or what gives their meaning. For example, I now testify that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. If one in his heart believes that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, he received the testification of faith, the call of Islam, he believed in it, but he did not utter, he did not say, he did not mention with his tongue, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, or what gives that meaning, then such a person is still a blasphemer. So one has to utter the testification of faith to become a Muslim, except for the one who cannot utter it, then it is not a requirement on his part. Like the mute person, it is enough for him to believe in his heart. So the one who hears that the universe has a creator, and this creator sent Muhammad, a man called Muhammad, to convey to the people whatever Allah ordered him to convey, then such a person would be considered accountable. Of course, that is if he is sane and pubescent. It is not a condition for him to hear the details of the creed. This is enough for him to become accountable. Now, for the one who dies before becoming pubescent, he is not accountable. So in the hereafter, even if he dies as a blasphemer, he does not enter hellfire. Likewise, the one who becomes crazy before he is pubescent, and then he remains crazy until after puberty, up till he dies, such a person is not accountable. In the hereafter, he is safe. Who tells me why? Let's say someone is not pubescent, but he is 10 years old, and he has a wrong belief in his heart, and then he becomes pubescent. But before becoming pubescent, he gets crazy. He remains crazy until becoming pubescent, and then up till he dies. Why he would be safe in the hereafter? He had a bad conviction, a wrong conviction. A why? Because before puberty, the pen is lifted. That is, whatever he had as a conviction or did, it wasn't written on him. And after he became pubescent also, the pen was lifted from him. So, no sin was written on him. That's why. Now, the one who receives the call of Islam, he becomes accountable just by that. And it is not a condition for him to take a period of time to think about the truthfulness of Islam. It is not a condition to become accountable that he spends a certain time thinking about the truthfulness of Islam. Once he is pubescent, sane, and he receives the call of Islam, he becomes accountable by that. Such a person, if he dies without embracing Islam, he remains in hellfire forever. A person has to be steadfast to the belief of Islam, which means he has not to have any hesitation about committing blasphemy in the future. That is, he needs to be steadfast to Islam. He is firm that he is not going to blaspheme, and he does not hesitate about that, because if one intends to blaspheme in the future, then one becomes a blasphemer immediately. Likewise, if one hesitates. Let us stop here. Allah knows best. Do you have any question? About what? The Hanafis, they say about believing properly in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, even if the person did not receive the call of Islam, one has to have the proper belief in Allah. This is what Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said. The Maturidis, this is what they say. That he has, if he doesn't believe properly in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and he dies on that state, then he will be tortured forever. Alaykum as-salam. In hellfire. Both are sayings of Ahl Sunnah. But not about the Prophet, because how would he know about Prophet Muhammad if he never heard about him? The proper belief in Allah, which means, if someone never heard the call of Islam, but he died after becoming pubescent and he is sane, while he was worshipping an idol, the Hanafis, they say he will be tortured forever in hellfire. They said because the mind only stands proof. What he's doing is against the sound mind, the proofs of the mind. That's why he is going to be tortured in hellfire forever. The Shafi'is, they say, yes, we agree that the sound mind does not accept to worship an idol. But there is a verse in Al-Quran, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا, which means Allah would not torture the people if they do not receive the call of Islam. They said because of this verse, we say he is not going to be tortured in hellfire. The Hanafis say this verse does not refer to that. This verse refers to the torture in this life, not in the torture in the hereafter. The Shafi'is respond by saying, but there is no sign for that in the verse. Apparently, it doesn't say that it's in this life. So you see, this is how it goes. So those are two sayings among Ahl Sunnah. If someone hears about Islam and he thinks that Muslims are people who worship Muhammad, for example, then such people wouldn't be considered that he received the call of Islam, would not be considered that like that, of course. The one who is born as a deaf, he is not accountable. Except if by some way he understood that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, then he becomes more accountable. If this happens, usually it does not. But if it happens, then he becomes accountable.
What's the basic message someone to be accountable?
To hear that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Even if one knows Arabic, he hears the Adhan, that's enough. Because in the Adhan this is mentioned, that's enough to consider this person as receiving, someone who received the call of Islam, the basic call of Islam.
If a person doesn't speak the language and they heard it in the Adhan, does that fall under being not accountable?
Not accountable, because he does not understand what's the meaning. If someone who is not mumayyiz, then to be sane, you mean? No, sane means he is not crazy. This is what sane refers to. No. Because someone who is 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old might not be mumayyiz and he is not insane. An adult. If they are not at the stage of mental discrimination, then they are not accountable. Because such a person does not understand what you tell him. Even if he hears La ilaha illallah Muhammadu Rasulullah, he does not understand.
You mentioned Ila al-Hashim. I heard it was Ila al-Adnan.
What's mentioned in Al-Mukhtasar, it's mentioned up to Hashim. Also, to memorize the lineage of the Prophet up to Adnan is among the communal obligations, yes. According to one saying. He says La ilaha illallah, then he says Muhammad. But He is not testifying that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. He is saying that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And there is no messenger called Muhammad. He can say Ha. Come on. Then we tell him to say Abu al-Qasim. He can say Qaf. Then according to some scholars, Abu al-Qasim. Ga also, come on. If he is really unable to say that, then he says La ilaha illallah while believing in his heart in the Prophet, and that would be enough. If he really cannot mention anything يعني he cannot say Muhammad, he cannot say Abu al-Qasim, Abu al-Qasim, then yes, this is enough. لا يكفي.
لو قال أبو إبراهيم.
لا يكفي. If he says Abu Ibrahim, although the Prophet had a son called Ibrahim, but this is not enough. If someone hears the basic creed of Islam, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and becomes accountable, later he might hear lies about Muslims, but that does not make him unaccountable again. Once he's accountable, with this issue.